stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any requested adjustments to the regular session agenda? Hearing none. Do we have any business from the audience that is not to discuss the public hearing that we are discussing this evening? If so, we're ready for testimony in that. Okay, hearing none. Tonight's meeting is a quasi-judicial public hearing, which is a request for metro plan diagram amendment and zone change for a one-acre property at 273 Deadman Ferry Road. Cases A11-18-00012-TYP4 and 811-18-000181-TYP3. And staff will be led by Andy Limbard. Before that, we will ask our city attorney to please detail the conduct of our quasi-judicial public hearing. City attorney.
The hearing tonight is characterized as a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with this decision-making process. These include the right to notice, to present evidence, to have a written decision based upon standards, and to an impartial decision-maker. The primary purpose of the hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be made. The evidentiary rules associated with this hearing is less restrictive than in circuit courts, and all relevant testimony, including hearsay, may be considered. Please note the following important aspects of tonight's hearing. You must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing or in front of the Springfield City Council, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal before the Land Use Board of Appeals. A person raising an issue must support the issue with statements or evidence that is sufficiently specific so that the Planning Commission or City Council has an opportunity to respond to the concern or issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or to seek damages in circuit court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues related to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the Planning Commission or City Council to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. In this action, the burden is on the applicant to show by preponderance of the evidence that all the applicable approval criteria have been met. The criteria are in Springfield Development Code 5.14-135 and 5.22-115 and are posted on the wall behind the Planning Commission and will be outlined in the staff report. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, staff report, or supporting documents, and any testimony or evidence admitted during this hearing. If you want an item entered into the record, please present that item to the Planning Secretary orally or in writing. If there's any question in your mind whether any material is in the record, please make a point of asking that it be accepted into the record. By law, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make it before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to new evidence. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The party requesting it must show that prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. This hearing is recorded on tape, so I ask that anyone who wishes to testify follow the following procedures. First, please testify from the podium on my left and not from the citizen seats. Second, begin your testimony by stating your name and address for the record. This enables the Planning Secretary and the Planning Commission to identify the testimony offered by each speaker and assists in creating a transcript of the hearing if it's necessary. Finally, if you want a copy of the written decision, please provide your name and address to the Planning Secretary. The Planning Commission will issue its recommendation to the City Council after the record is closed. The City Council will conduct a final evidentiary hearing on this matter at a later date. The City Council's decision will be final. Any person who participated in the hearing may appeal the City Council's decision to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline for the appeal and the form. Last, Oregon law requires the Planning Commission disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commission for bias. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to challenge the Planning Commission for bias? Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business, would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. An ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Commissioner Chair, at this time it's appropriate to open the hearing and declare conflicts or ex parte contacts.
I hereby open the public hearing and would request commissioners to declare whether they have any ex parte contact or conflicts of interest.
I have a conflict of interest. I work locally as a land use planner with Carl, who is the applicant tonight, so I will be recusing myself.
So noted. Any others?
No conflict.
As I'd like the record to be shown that as a local residential realtor, there is a potential of conflict of interest. However, I do not know the party at all. Not to say in the future there wouldn't be any.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, I would note that there has been a change to the agenda to reflect the fact that we are our ultimate goal here is to make a recommendation to the City Council. So that was an error on the previous agenda. So that our goal here tonight is to make a recommendation on these matters to the City Council. The City Council will have the ultimate decision making on in regard to these matters. We are ready at this time for our staff report. Senior Planner Andy Limbert. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm just going to provide an overview of the particular site location and the steps that are being asked of the Commission and ultimately the City Council to change the plan designation and zoning for this particular property, which is up in the Gateway area. You can see in the location map, it's up just north of the Peace Health Hospital. And probably use technology to my benefit here too. This particular site, it's very geometric in shape. I guess you'd call it a parallelogram. It's just on the south side of Devon Ferry Road, north of St. Joseph Place. And commissioners that may recall, our veteran commissioners may recall, recently Peace Health approved or had approval granted for a Ronald McDonald House facility. Immediately to the south of this site off St. Joseph Place. It's a guest house for residents to stay that are family of patients at the hospital. So it abuts an existing multi-unit project that's under construction right now. And as you see by you can see by the metro plan designation, it's kind of at a convergence of different types of zoning designation. Sorry about that. There's a little chip you have to add. So the site is depicted here on the an extract from the metro plan. The designation currently, it's at the very kind of tail end of an extension of low density residential designation. The applicant is proposing to change that designation to medium density residential, as depicted on this diagram. Because there's an existing refinement plan for this area of Springfield, the current zoning is low density residential. The proposed zoning is medium density residential. And the Gateway refinement plan diagram shows it here as outlined as low density residential. Proposal is medium density residential. The applicant has stated that it is surrounded by medium density residential zoning, and that is true because there is a narrow walkway that is publicly accessible running along the western boundary of that site. It connects with the Peace Health Guest House site to the south and opens up to Dedman Ferry Road, the public sidewalk on the road there. Technically, it is zoned medium density residential, although not really developable per se. Areas to the east along Dedman Ferry Road and ultimately along Baldy View Lane, there is a large area, mostly vacant, of medium density residential designation and zoning in this area as well. So the site does directly abut and is arguably encompassed by medium density residential zoning, and that is the ask of the Planning Commission and Council is to change the designation of zoning to medium density residential to allow for multi-unit development on the site. It's about 1 acre. It has relatively narrow frontage along the northern boundary of Dedman Ferry Road. And to develop the site to meet low density residential density requirements would require a subdivision. It does make it somewhat difficult to provide access and create a lotting pattern that would ultimately achieve the overall zoning by essentially dividing the property in multiple pieces under a low density residential configuration. It does lend itself to a comprehensive development as one piece in order to meet a higher density standard. So that's staff's observation of this application, is that it does fit with the overall density standards and the, and it abuts similarly designated and zoned property already along that area of Dedman Ferry Road. Staff also notes, just as an observation, that the site is within the flood hazard area of the Mackenzie River floodplain. Therefore, any future site development would be subject to provisions of the city's floodplain overlay district, which requires the site to be elevated out of the flood hazard area and likely would require, under current FEMA guidelines, a biological assessment of the property to determine any, if there are any impacts to habitat or sensitive species, which primarily salmonid habitat, but also other sensitive species that are listed in the FEMA regulations. This concludes staff's summary of this application. I do note that the applicant is here as well and intends to provide an application, but testimony, but I would be happy to answer any questions if you have at the outset here.
Hearing none. Ready for testimony from the applicant.
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Carl Mueller, agent for the applicant. My address is 370 Q Street in Springfield, Oregon. It's been a long time, maybe since I've been in this chamber, about 13 years since the first plan amendment and zone change that I did. When I started land use planning, a lot has changed here in Springfield since that time. 197.304 required a new UTB, that's happened. There's also been the adoption of a new residential land housing need analysis, as well as new element, the Springfield 2030 residential land use housing element, replacing aspects of that of the metro plan, which itself is bound for replacement, I believe, in its entirety soon. As staff noted, we're requesting an amendment to the existing metro plan diagram, the parcels in the Gateway Refinement Plan area. And we're also requesting an amendment to the Springfield zoning map. Obviously, it's all presently configured LDR, as Mr. Lindbergh pointed out. We're asking for an MDR designation in all respects. This will allow more advanced development than in the present zoning district. As Mr. Lindbergh pointed out, it'll lend itself to a more of a comprehensive development you would be able to do higher density development than what's previously allowable there, including duplexes, threeplexes, fourplexes, apartments, residential care facilities or nursing homes would also be allowable, though that is not the intent of the applicant. Our intent is to develop a parcel with attached townhomes. Let's see, I wanted to thank staff for their prompt review of our application and their thorough staff report, the recommendation for approval. I don't want to belabor the statewide planning goals and metro plan amendment elements too much. I'll hit some of the high points of the approval criteria. Before I get into it, I mean, I will say when these come to our office, you do also kind of look at, is it a good idea? Are there elements that would support the application? As it was pointed out, it's surrounded by MDR on the three sides. Therefore, we feel it's just a more logical configuration for the development and additionally can accommodate development better, as pointed out. To make that change requires a lot of work because it's LDR and all the possible planning documents. Moving into a little bit the criteria of approval, the statewide planning goals, maybe some of the biggest ones of the public input process were here. It obviously is going to implicate mostly goal 10, which relates to housing, primarily that the jurisdiction needs to provide for housing needs of citizens and then make land use decisions just based on projections of supply and demand. So when making this decision on that, it's allowable and certainly consistent with state line planning goals in the respect that we're just making an adjustment between areas of surplus. It wouldn't be allowable, say, if there were a deficit in one designation and we were asking to take land out of a designation with deficit or something like that. Problematic, or if there wasn't an existing updated inventory, we had that happen over in Eugene. However, this application here is in fact consistent with goal 10. Staff also pointed out, I think it's on page 17, is how that furthers the housing needs of the community. In addition to the assets we talked about being surrounded by the other zoning district accommodating denser development, it's also proximate to major employers such as Symantec. It's conveniently close to the rapid transit system, the pathway, as pointed out, as well as the transportation network and all the commercial amenities that are over in the Gateway area, etc. And those are all kind of desirable amenities when you're looking to site multifamily housing. Those are all near this property. So, in other words, just from in addition to compliance with the approval criteria, it simply functionally makes sense. The second criteria for the metro plan amendment would be that it does not make the plan inconsistent. Certainly doesn't conflict with any element of the metro plan. We need to address housing needs through the Springfield residential lands need analysis. And we cite several of those policies, including H3, locating higher density development near employment commercial services, which I just touched on, making more efficient use of residential land supply, that's H6, promoting housing in coordination with transit plans and proximity stations, and others. I'm not going to belabor all of them there in our narrative. I would say that then the application is consistent with the criteria for a metro plan amendment. Of course, it's not static. It's not consistent with the diagram. Consistency of the diagram occurs when the amendment takes place. And it's again consistent with the diagram. The application narrative also touches the final plan policies that the application is consistent with. I won't really get into that except the state is consistent with those policies and the metro plan application will automatically amend the final plan diagram because the final plan is required to be consistent with the metro plan diagram, and therefore, the amendment occurs automatically. And then, of course, regarding the zone change, the criteria is just substantially similar to the criteria for a metro plan amendment. Statewide plan goal compliance, or rather, excuse me, doesn't require that. Metro plan policies, as we find that those has been addressed already, and we won't go back through those. Consistency with the refinement plans, that's frankly already been addressed. We're adequately served by public facilities. All required utilities are already stepped to the site. And we're consistent with 5.14100, the purpose of metro plan amendments, because we're, this application is responsive to changing circumstances and the other identified reasons in the written statement. Primarily for the reasons that are set forth in the narrative, and maybe anything else I mentioned today that I didn't there, we believe we've demonstrated compliance with all the relevant approval criteria, and we would respectfully request a recommendation of approval of this concurrent set of amendments. Obviously, here and available to answer any questions. Otherwise, I would conclude at least my oral presentation at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Lynn?
I'm not sure if this would go to you or Andy, but you had a quick slide up there on floodplain. Are there any floodplain indications one way or the other? Something that makes it harder? Since this thing's going to be underwater if the river goes up.
Well, it doesn't preclude the change of comprehensive plan amendment zoning for the site. It's just, it was observed during the initial site review that the site is pretty much entirely within that zone. So it's an additional element that, irrespective of the underlying zoning and the plan designation, when site development plans are prepared for the site, they will need to take into consideration this floodplain aspect, the flood hazard area. So the action that's requested of changing the plan designation zoning does not obviate or eliminate this requirement. It will still remain. It's just another layer that is still applicable to the site, and the request of staff was to illustrate that there are other development constraints and development layers applicable to the site that will not be affected by the decision to change the zoning and the plan designation should that occur.
Thank you.
Further questions? Okay. At this time, we have an opportunity for any testimony in support of the application, and having received no comment cards, also testimony opposed to the application, having received no comment cards. Any testimony neither in support nor opposed to the application, having received no comment cards. Brief summation by staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the applicant has stated, it is consistent with the criteria of approval. Should the Planning Commission make a recommendation supporting this proposal, would be taken forward to the City Council at the next available meeting, likely January 7th, 2019. That's what's been advertised at this point. And the Council would have the same information as well as the Planning Commission's recommendation for consideration of this request to amend the comprehensive plan and the zoning map.
We have opportunity for any additional rebuttal from the applicant if needed. Probably.
Thank you.
Seeing none. At this point, we would entertain a consideration of request for continuation of the public hearing and extension of the written record, or both, if it's either requested or needed. Hearing none, do I hear a motion to close or continue the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing?
Second.
Recommended by Commissioner Landon, seconded by Commissioner Bowes. All in favor?
Aye.
Do I hear a motion to close or extend the written record?
I move that we close the written record. Second.
Recommended by Commissioner Bowes, seconded by Commissioner Landon. All in favor?
Aye.
The public hearing and the written record are closed. At this point, any discussion or questions to the staff or to the applicant? I did want to go ahead and say that I noticed that this does help the housing situation in the city of Springfield, which we know is not in a great state, and provides what we call the missing middle housing, or the missing middle housing, which we know is desperately needed. So I think it, and again, staff and the applicant, I think, was a very, very comprehensive and understandable and thorough application. So I just wanted to state that. Do we have, at this time, any other discussion? Hearing none, I have a motion to, I would propose a motion.
Can I interrupt you real quick? I think that there's a typo in that motion. I was copying the application number off of the agenda, and I believe there's a typo there that Andy had pointed out. So if he could give you the correct application number for the plan amendment before you make any motion, that would be helpful.
Okay.
So the case number for the plan amendment, the metro plan diagram amendment, which would concurrently amend the Gateway Climate Plan diagram, is 811-18-000182-TYP4.
Okay. Let's see. I didn't get all of that.
It's instead of dash 12, it's dash 182.
There's a missing 8.
There's a missing 8.
There should be 6 numbers in the third sequence there.
I omit the zeros so that you don't have to say them all. But
okay.
So it's 811-18-12 on your motion there in front of you, and it should be dash 182.
Mr. Chair, could we also perhaps have a pronunciation for the applicant so that whoever moves through the motion could not stumble?
Alhamyari?
I would pronounce it Alhamyari.
All right. Thank you. Otherwise, it's going to be
Let me go ahead and check that number with you again. 811-18-182.
That's correct.
TYP. Okay.
0001.
You don't need the zeros?
I don't think you need to state the zeros.
You can eliminate it.
Okay.
When you're reading it out loud.
That sounds good to
and
me.
And I believe the other motion was correct as being 811-18-181-TYP3. That's the zoning map amendment.
Okay. Great. Okay. Well, I will go ahead and make a motion to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve case 811-18-182-TYP4, an application by Carl Mueller Enterprises, LLC, on behalf of Mokhtar Alhamyari, for a Type 1 amendment to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan Diagram and Gateway Refinement Plan Map to designate approximately 1 acre of residential property located at 273 Deadman Ferry Road, map 17-03-15-40, tax lot 1700, from low density residential to medium density residential because the amendments meet the applicable criteria of approval.
Second.
Motion by myself, second by Commissioner Bowes. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Regarding the zone change, I'll make a motion to move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve case 811-18-181 TYP 3. An application by Carl Mueller, Mueller Enterprises LLC on behalf of Mokhtar Alhamare to amend the Springfield zoning map to rezone approximately 1 acre of residential property located at 273 Dedman Ferry Road, map 17-03-15-40, tax lot 71700, from low density residential to medium density residential, because the amendments meet the applicable criteria of approval with the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
Does that apply? I don't think that applies in this case.
There were a couple of conditions, but it was just basically that the plan diagram amendment would have to be first.
Yeah, just specify that there was a condition of approval for the zoning map amendment, that the enabling action of amending the comprehensive plan, the metro plan diagram and gateway town plan, had to happen first. They can be more or less concurrent, but if it wasn't approved, then the zoning couldn't occur. Yeah, so it binds them together, so to speak.
It's just that condition of approval.
Second.
Motion by myself, second by Commissioner Landon. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I believe we are complete regarding that. Do we have any reports of council action?
I have one, but I have to dial that number first.
Okay, I can repeat mine. I attended a work session on 11/26/18, and where the discussion was generally the implementation of the transportation system plan, and they had a lot of the same concerns, actually, that we expressed in our discussion of the transportation system plan, both with us and the county planning commission. So that was very interesting. There was also a very brief meeting of the economic development plan, so the economic development committee. So that was my report. Mr. Bowles.
Yes, I have a report on last night's council session, 12/3/18. Beginning the work session, there was a request by the Springfield Police Department for an update on the regulations pertaining to animal control. Since at the outset of the discussion, it was determined that there was substantial questions from various council members on this subject, so it was decided before they really got into the discussion that they would schedule a full work session on the subject at a later date. The second item on the work session agenda was a discussion on the process to recruit a new city manager. I presume everyone is aware that Gino Grimaldi will be leaving in July of next year. So, initially, Mary Bridget Smith indicated that there's been some initial discussions with a recruitment firm that has done business with the city in the past. However, council had indicated that they wanted to also have discussions with other firms beside the particular firm that was brought up. And so that process will probably occur after the first of the year, because council is going to be in holiday break from here on to the first of the year. And so there will be opportunities to meet with representatives of the firm that was the top of the list, and also they would schedule meetings with additional people with other recruitment firms as part of the process. because the city council does have the final decision on who's appointed to that position. And so there will be candidates that will be brought forward by the recruitment firms for the selection process. Is there anything that I've missed on that as a potential?
I think just the clarification is the council would decide if they wanted to meet with other recruitment firms, that they would open it back up to a new RFP, and they would solicit broadly more recruitment firms, so that they have sort of a choice of tack on to their existing contract or open it up more broadly. And I don't know that the final decision would be made on that regard. That was just the clarification. And Gino's retiring. He's not just for if anyone wasn't aware, he's retiring. He's not taking another position.
Yeah, I wasn't sure on that. Anyway, he will be gone after 13 years as a city manager. And in the regular session, the only two items really of note is that the council approved two annexations to the city. One is a one acre parcel at South 47th and Jasper Road, and the second was a 2.2 acre annexation in the 800 block of South 57th Street. And also I'll mention as a side note that this meeting of the Planning Commission was the last meeting for Councilor Wiley, who is stepping down after 12 years on the City Council, and our former Planning Commissioner Steve Moe will be stepping into that position at the first of the year. So some of us that have been around a while are acquainted with Steve, so we look forward to his service on the Council. And so that, in essence, summarizes the last night's Council session.
Any other Council reports? Business from the Planning Commission. I brought forth a little item that there's currently a study by, I believe I have a handout here. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I was wondering. This is for a study of Oregon passenger rail, and the Oregon Department of Transportation is studying ways to improve passenger rail service from Springfield to Portland and across into Washington State. And there is a very large document, like 370 pages online, which includes all the various options for how to improve the rail service, which not really running very well because of the fact that it needs to be shared and subject to priority by freight service at current. So the two options, although a myriad of options were brought forth, the two options that really came down to it were do some improvement on the existing system to try to minimize the conflict between freight and passenger, or
like
Additional crossings, little pieces of additional rail, etc. However, with the growth in the both passenger and freight rail that I think is coming, and they predict as well, I think that's kind of a band-aid. The second idea was to take off from Springfield and essentially go up I-5 corridor quite a ways up until like the vicinity of I-205, and then cut over towards the east side of Portland. That idea, however, would require an additional bridge, both across the Willamette near the South A Railroad Bridge, and then another bridge across the Willamette, currently at the Will Loop Crossing I-5 bridge on the east side, and then go on an elevated track through the Eastgate Woodlands.
All new rail,
and the speeds would be much greater, and it wouldn't be shared with freight for the majority of this of the I-5 corridor. I think there might be some better options than, personally speaking, I think there might be some better options than two additional bridges. Maybe relocating the station north of town where EMX could possibly service it. But I got the handout because we have until just a short time, I believe it is December 18th, to make any comments that you'd like to make.
Let me just go
Thank
to
you.
going to say that when we worked on the Springfield transportation plan and we looked at rapid transit as one facet of the plan, that the original thought in 2014 is that the rapid rail would terminate in Eugene rather than Springfield. So there was quite a bit of discussion as to the possibility of extending the southern terminus to Springfield, since number one is there's lots of room where the former depot was, far more than what there is in Eugene for parking, etc. And so I don't know how that thinking has evolved since then, but there is a desire on the part of Springfield to have the terminus end in Springfield rather than Eugene.
So yeah, if people have interest in this, it's really an interesting document. It has the environmental impact statement and all the various combinations of types of rail service, from maglev to fully electric to etc. It's a really interesting document. They are seeking input. So.
The document is listed here somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's it should be toward the back side, the online open house. That, however, is not a live link there. Yeah. I think you can find it through
web search. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, any other business from the Planning Commission?
I have one. Tomorrow evening, the UofO Museum of Natural Cultural History is having their Ideas on Tap, which used to be over here when Sprout was Sprout, but now it's over at Viking Braggot. But the topic is a couple of folks from the UofO College of Design program, and the topic is Surviving Change, Building Community Resilience with Sustainable Design. So, in case anybody's interested.
What time is that again?
Tomorrow at six.
Is it at the Southtown location?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any business from the Development and Public Works Department?
Well, I do have the website for the passenger rail. It's www.oregonpassengerrail.org.
It may be just peripherally interesting to commissioners, but the local chapter of the American Public Works Association hosts monthly luncheons, or I guess periodic luncheons. The topic for next Tuesday is the Thurston Hills Natural Area Trail System. It's at Kowloon's. It usually starts around 11:45. It's right near Austin Stadium on Martin Luther King Boulevard there. And I don't know who's presenting. I believe it's two of the project architects, one of the trail designers. Just thought it was kind of interesting, a little local flavor. From my experience of using some of the mountain bike trails in there, it seems to have been very well received, very well utilized. And so they're planning an expansion of the trail system onto kind of the top of the bridge and then beyond, eventually extending down to Bobstraw Parkway. So around 2.5 miles or so of linear distance of the trails, just as the crow flies, let alone the network that's planned there. So if you haven't taken the opportunity, either walking or cycling or any other mode, you can check it out, because it's a really great facility in town.
I'm asking, have they completed the trail all the way through on the east side yet?
No, they haven't.
Okay.
No, they haven't. It goes up to basically the top of the ridge line, at least that's been my experience, and then they had blocked off an area earlier in the summer because they were doing habitat restoration for the oak savanna areas, so they didn't want to have users kind of filtering into that area. But they're actually coming forward with a site plan review application for more additions to the trail system. I don't believe it includes any trailhead parking lots like the previous one did off of McKenzie Highway. But eventually, I think the intent is to have some type of a destination trailhead on the, I guess it'll be the west side here, Bob's Drop Parkway. I guess it would tie into the Weyerhaeuser Road, I think, that walkway there. So eventually, link everything together.
Okay, with no other items, we'll go ahead and adjourn the December 4th regular planning commission.
I think so. That makes a training session regardless of anything else. Sure, I think we're scheduled for just every day.
Somebody ought to send Joe his attorney.
Yeah.
This is for, this is like for one of the kids.
You'll be looking at it before he will.
You bet.
That's right.
Okay, so what's wrong with yours?
Disappear.
Everything?
Everything.
Yeah, real staff.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll have nothing to do with that.
Mike, can I just give it to someone in politics?
Yeah. Also, then I'll just, if it was anything like my iPad where it wasn't an organization hosting it, I could fix it.
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of stuck.
Yeah. So that's the only thing is your email's not linking up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been having to go.
Probably
to
what happened was your email expired.
Oh.
And so they'll just issue a new one, but I'll have them look at it just to make sure.
I've been logging in on the web browser with the email.